All right, Scott Miller joins us, CBS.com. Always a pleasure to have him on the show, Scott. Spring training, you've been here to Florida, back and forth. You've seen all of baseball.
It sure seems like it, especially with an extra week this spring because of the World Baseball Classic. I think probably much like yourself and the players, ready to get going and get the season started. I think people are ready.
Yeah, and you've covered a lot of Arizona, and I know it's interesting, injuries. All of a sudden, the story right now down here, of course, Pablo Sandoval has got a little bit of the elbow thing, and of course, he battles weight issues all the time. But Chase Headley is out of the Padres. Hanley Ramirez, my goodness, 6 to 8 weeks. And a bigger injury, I think, Adam Eaton of Arizona, who is a real spark plug for that club, 6 to 8 weeks with a sprained elbow. So all of a sudden, injuries are a story down here.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, even in Florida with David Wright, they don't know if he's going to make opening day. Derek Jeter's fighting to stay off the disabled list, open the season. David Ortiz in Boston. But all over the place. But I think you're right. The Adam Eaton injury coming out of the blue yesterday, that hurts the Diamondbacks. Just as the Chase Headley injury, I think those two in the NL West hurt those two clubs worse than the Hanley Ramirez injury hurts the Dodgers, simply because the other two don't have nearly as much depth. I mean, the Dodgers, a $200-plus million payroll. You know, with Hanley out, they're going to move Luis Cruz, who had a breakthrough season last year, over to shortstop. And without Hanley, they've still got Juan Uribe, Jerry Hairston Jr., and Nick Punto. All three of those guys, they're going to rotate in and out of third base. You know, you go over to San Diego, who's not expected to contend anyway, and, you know, Chase Headley led the National League in RBI last year. I don't know that even the average casual baseball fan recognizes that. You know, everybody sees Ryan Braun and everybody else, but Headley was the RBI leader. You remove him from that Padre lineup, they don't have the guys to stick at third base, at least for the first month, that the Dodgers do, and the same in Arizona, who really, the Diamondbacks, if everything breaks right, ought to be in at least, if not in contention, they ought to be tagging along with the Giants and Dodgers all the way through. But Eaton, that without him for almost 2 months, that's really going to hurt that club.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up San Diego for me, because they brought the fences in this year.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've watched a lot of baseball in San Diego over your life. Will the park be that different?
You know, it's hard to say. We're not going to know until the season begins and we see how it plays. They left field alone, straight left, and they moved basically from the right field foul pole, cutting across to right center. Where you're going to notice the biggest difference is right field, right center field, you know, how that plays. And, you know, I mean, I think it'll be interesting, because the Padres, ever since they moved into Petco Park, have lived with their pitching. I mean, you know, they've often died prematurely during the season because they haven't been in contention that much. But early on, especially, they won a couple division titles in Petco Park. And even, remember, you know, as you well remember, Marty, in 2010, they took the Giants to the last day of the season. And any bit of success the Padres have had has often been based around pitching. So the biggest thing is whether it's going to dilute the Padres' pitching, and then they're really going to be in trouble. But, you know, we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see how it plays.
You know, Scott Miller talking baseball here with us. Every year in spring training, I say, all right, this is the best team I've seen. Something always stands out. And I'm trying to think this year, Kansas City? I mean, look, the Reds have struggled. The Angels have struggled. Texas really hasn't looked that good. The White Sox haven't really looked that good. On the top of the Cactus League, you look at Seattle and Kansas City, maybe, which tells me this. The big boys did not have great springs, the Giants included.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Royals have torn it up, and, you know, one manager I talked to out here the other day said, you know, they better just save some of those wins for the regular season, because, you know, Kansas City's had trouble winning in the regular season. But a lot of parity around the game. I mean, the game's changed from a decade ago, when you used to say the Yankees are the best team. Look at their roster; it's unbelievable. Can anybody beat the Yankees? Now, going in, you know, you can see the Yankees and Red Sox fourth, fifth in the American League East, and you look around and trying to pick who's going to win a World Series. I mean, you know, there are probably five, six, seven teams you can throw into that mix with equal arguments all the way around.
Yeah, the Washington Nationals for me, the team to watch this year. I mean, with Strasburg back and essentially the whole team back, and now they've got a closer. Cincinnati for me is still a team that, of course, is trouble. The Cardinals. This National League is not simple, believe me.
No, it isn't. And you're right about the Nationals. I mean, I think going in, they're probably the favorites to win the National League pennant. If you don't, you know, if you look east, I mean, the Dodgers, Giants certainly are going to have a lot to say about that. And, you know, the Giants, two World Series titles in the last 3 years, you know, you probably ought to start there. Where the Nationals are concerned, the best record in the National League, best record in the majors last year, 98 wins. And the scary thing to me about the Nationals is, you know, best record in baseball last year, and you can make an argument they're stronger this year because, as you mentioned, they'll have Steven Strasburg for a full season. They'll have Bryce Harper for a full season. They've got a closer, as you mentioned, Soriano. And they added Denard Span in center field, a leadoff guy. They essentially didn't really have a leadoff man last year while building the best record in the majors. They were kind of, they mixed and matched and stuff, but Span now gives them a legitimate leadoff guy. So on paper, they're significantly stronger than last year.
All right, Scott Miller, CBS.com. He's very welcome on KBR, you know that. We'll leave with this one. Who has more wins, Zach Greinke or Barry Zito?
It's a good question. You know what? I'm going to go on a limb and say Zito. Yeah. People might think I'm crazy, but I don't like... Greinke got a cortisone shot in his elbow the other day. He's complained a little bit of some soreness in the elbow. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably crazy. I mean, Greinke, if he stays healthy, Greinke obviously ought to have more wins, among other things, pitching in that number two slot behind Clayton Kershaw. You know, he may even get another start or two than Zito does. But I'm not sure. That's some worrisome stuff for me listening this spring to Greinke complain about a sore elbow.
Just to have the conversation about that question is amazing to me. Boy.
No question. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody knows about Zito's contract, but, you know, Greinke now is kind of the new kid on the block with the big contract. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it is. I mean, you know, realistically, rationally, you figure, okay, Greinke probably has more wins. But like I say, that elbow complaining this spring bothers me. And, you know, Zito's kind of once again resurrected himself. I'll go Zito.
Gary Radnich or Brian Murphy will be calling you on that one, I'm sure, soon. Scott, thank you so much. As always, a pleasure to see you at the park.
My pleasure, Marty. Thank you.
All right, more coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.